from the bookshelf of the world.
Circe. Diane, what is that sound I hear?
The Cyclops.
What?
Yes, Ulysses. The Cyclops. The curse of the island of Circe. And now your men are forever lost.
From the bookshelf of the world, the Armed Forces Radio Service presents another celebrated story for the listening audience of the Army, Navy, and the Air Corps. And for those who haven't already guessed the title, it's The Odyssey by Homer. But first, a word from Jack Little.
Of course, everybody likes a self-made man, said Oliver Wendell Holmes, because it's a great deal better to be made that way than not to have been made at all. But seriously, did you ever take a look at a fellow who was plugging away at a USAFI correspondence course? Next time you see one, take a good look, and you'll see what it takes to become a self-made man. You'll see a man determined to take every advantage of the nearly 350 USAFI self-study and correspondence courses. Yes, sir, you'll see a man determined to get ahead in this man's army by educating himself. Say, can you take a hint? Check with your troop information and education officer right away.
And now, from the bookshelf of the world, The Odyssey by Homer.
Have heard how Paris stole the lovely Helen and carried her off to Troy, and how the Greek warriors led by Ulysses tricked the Trojans and won the war with a wooden horse. Then it was that the thoughts of Ulysses and his men turned to home, their wives and children whom they had not seen in many years. They manned their ships, hoisted their sails, and began the journey which normally should have been completed in a few days. But this was not to be. Ill luck pursued them, and dire events changed the short, happy trip into a wandering voyage that lasted 10 long years. This, then, is what befell Ulysses and his men during the last weeks of the Odyssey.
Ho! Ho! Ho!
Faster! Faster, Euryanthe! Increase the beat!
It is increased now by 40 counts to the minute. I cannot increase it more. The men are breaking their backs as it is.
It were better they break their backs than remain whole in this accursed calm. The sun will burn and blacken us, and in time we shall starve. It is the fault of Aeolus, god of wind.
Do not speak rashly, Ulysses. Aeolus may hear you.
I desire that he hears me, and that there shall be no mistake, I shall speak louder.
Hear me now, Aeolus, god of wind. Why have you cursed us with this continuing calm?
Ulysses, I beg of you. Have but a moment of patience. The winds will come in time.
I want them now. I've been away from home for 10 long years. My little son has grown to manhood, and my wife... Who can tell what has happened to my wife?
We all have ties of home, children and wives, and we all wish to be with them again. But it will not help us to anger the gods or blame our plight upon them.
I blame them and curse them.
No, Ulysses.
Hear me, Aeolus. Send winds to take this vessel speedily on its way, or be forever cursed by men.
Ulysses, please, please. I will increase the beat. The men are rested. They will pull faster.
A cowardly god. He does not even deign to answer.
Men, heed the beat. Ho! Ho! Ho!
Euryanthe, wait. Leave off counting. Listen.
Wind. By Zeus, a wind is blowing up from the north.
Ha-ha! You see, Euryanthe, the gods obey a man of strength who is not afraid. Aeolus well knows that Ulysses is no maker of idle threats.
Leave the oars! Hoist sail!
Ha-ha! Ah, that is better. Now we shall reach Ithaca with all speed.
Trust Aeolus will know when to stop. The wind is right at this moment. But if it blows with more force, we'll have difficulty guiding the ship.
Blow! Blow, wind! I will hold the wheel with strength of iron.
Enough. Enough, Ulysses. Tell Aeolus to stop.
Ah, very well. This seems satisfactory. Stop! Stop now, Aeolus! Stop, I say! It is Ulysses speaking to you again. The wind is right. Stop!
It is not stopping. The wind is greater. Ulysses, we shall be torn apart. Ulysses, look!
Rocks! Turn the wheel. Give it to me.
Rocks! Rocks all about us. We're doomed. Ulysses!
Thus did Ulysses anger Aeolus, the god of winds, who revenged himself by wrecking the ship and throwing the men into the sea. Ulysses lost consciousness when he was thrown overboard, and when he regained his senses, night had fallen. He found himself on the beach of an island, surrounded by two towering rocks, one to the east and one to the west, and from the distant peaks he heard music. Music more strange than any he had heard before. It sounded like a moan, a plaintive wail. Or was it only the wind? Wind sent by Aeolus that brought destruction. Ulysses got to his feet and staggered toward the rocks, drawn irresistibly by the singing. On and on he walked, half dazed, hypnotized by the sound. He found himself about to climb up and onto the rocks, some force compelling him to climb higher and higher and then leap downward to his death. But suddenly...
Wait! You! You up there! Come down!
What?
Come down, I say! Do not leap from the rocks!
Leap? I had no thought of leaping. Or did I? Yes, I believe I would.
Come down!
Yes, I will!
You are fortunate that I chanced this way and saw you. You were indeed under the spell of the sirens.
Sirens? Is that what I heard?
They are irresistible to men. One more moment, and you would have thrown yourself from the rocks into the sea.
I am grateful to you, most gracious maiden. You have saved my life.
It would be unfortunate for so handsome a man to meet such an untimely death.
Maiden, what place is this?
It is an island.
I am able to perceive that for myself. Has the island a name?
Yes. It is called in honor of my mistress, who rules over all its inhabitants.
And what is her name?
Her name, mighty warrior, is Circe.
Circe, the enchantress, goddess of black magic and evil powers. Aeolus was not content with having shipwrecked Ulysses and his men. The god of winds drove the vessel to the rocky shores of the island of Circe, where dwelt, in addition to the enchantress herself, the singing sirens of the rocks and the largest giant ever known, the Cyclops. Ulysses was not aware of his danger or of future events. So he followed Circe's handmaiden, who was called Diane. She took him to the palace and ushered him into a large suite of rooms where she instructed him to rest. Ulysses obeyed her and in a few moments fell fast asleep. In another part of the palace, while Ulysses slept, Circe and Diane were entertaining Euryanthe and Ulysses' men, who had also been saved by Diane.
More food for the mighty warriors. Diane, serve our guests. The nectar.
It shall be as you have ordered, my queen.
Yes. Let them eat and drink. Let them be gluttons, incapable of satisfying their appetites.
Oh, mighty queen, I crave your permission to speak.
You may speak. But first, tell me your name.
My name is Euryanthe, a first officer under my king, Ulysses of Ithaca.
Come forward, Euryanthe.
Most gracious majesty, we are grateful to you and your maiden for having saved our lives. And for the food and drink you now set before us. We would be truly happy and content if we but knew whether our king is also alive.
Be then content. Your king is alive. Ulysses is safe and well.
Oh, wonderful queen. This news falls on happy ears. Will you then take us to him or bring him to us?
Presently, mighty warrior. He shall be brought to you presently.
With Ulysses safe, we will build another ship and continue our journey.
No. And where would you go?
Why, home, of course, O queen. Home to our wives and families.
Indeed. You may continue eating and drinking now. We will talk further in a moment.
Oh, we have had quite sufficient to eat and drink. Now we crave only the presence of our king.
You will obey what I command. Eat more. Drink more. Help yourselves to the nectar.
But I... As you have commanded, wondrous queen.
Well, Diane, why do you look so sad? You have done your work well. In a moment, these creatures will cease their useless lives as men and become worthy, useful animals. Now, let me see. The fat one at the end of the table, he will do nicely as a pig. The tall, lean one beside him has strong legs. He shall be a hog. And the little one with red hair, a perfect rooster.
And what will you do with Euryanthe?
Euryanthe? Oh, yes. The officer. What do you suggest?
Could you not leave him as he is?
Leave him as a man? Certainly not.
I have not asked this of you before, but his looks are most attractive to me. I find it lonely here at times.
Hold your tongue. You grow weak, Diane. We have no need for men. We have great need for the animals. Each time the Cyclops raids our fields, our supply is diminished. It must be replenished.
Perhaps Euryanthe or his king Ulysses could destroy the Cyclops. And then we would have
destroy
no need...
Destroy the Cyclops? The Cyclops is our curse. He will be with us always.
I only ask that you spare this one man. Just this one.
Never. Come now. Make ready. They have eaten enough. The nectar has had time to do its work. And now, warriors, it is time that the real purpose of our hospitality is made known to you. You were not saved so that you might build a ship and return to your wives and families. No man who has heard the call of the sirens from the wandering rocks may ever return home again. Now, we have other plans for your disposition. You there. Yes, the fat one. Stand up. Stand up, I say. Your mountain of flesh ill becomes you as a man, but will be useful now that you are. A pig. Stand where you are. It will do no good to protest. And you cannot run from my spell. Observe. He is now a horse. And he... a rooster. Cow, sheep, dogs, all are now transformed.
Greater, unspeakable enchantress. Where's Ulysses? He will break your spell.
He will be but the last to fall under it. And now you, Euryanthe. My maiden Diane has taken a fancy to you. So we will make you a pet. A charming pet to keep her company. Become now. Now, out with them, into the fields where they may work. Be careful, my pretty animals. Be careful of the Cyclops.
One by one, Circe transformed the men into animals. And through it all, their leader, Ulysses, slept like a little child. He slept throughout the day and might have gone on sleeping all night. But his slumber was rudely interrupted by Diane.
Ulysses, waken, Ulysses.
Run. What do you want?
Ulysses, you must listen carefully to my words. My queen is Circe, the enchantress. Your men were brought here also after the shipwreck, but they are men no longer. Circe has changed them into animals.
What? By all the Olympian gods, I will have her life for this.
No, I do not wish her dead. But I will give you a potion to drink that will protect you from the spell. You must then threaten to kill her unless she removes the spell from your men.
By Zeus, if she does not...
She will be forced to obey you if she cannot change you into an animal. Here. Here is the potion. Swallow it quickly.
Yes, I will. One moment. Why are you giving me this? How do I know it is not poison? On better thought, I am not certain that you speak the truth. Perhaps you are the evil one, jealous of your mistress, seeking to create anger in me against
her.
Oh,
no, I swear it. I do this only because I am much taken by Euryanthe.
Euryanthe? Yes, where is my officer?
Here.
Euryanthe? A cat?
Now will you believe?
Euryanthe, is that you? I believe it is. Be still while I examine your paw. Yes, there it is. The same scar of a wound he received protecting me. Very well, give me the potion. Now, take me to your mistress. I would have words with Circe the Entrancher.
Greetings, Ulysses. I am Circe, queen and ruler of this island named for me. I bid you welcome. Seat yourself. Have food and nectar.
Your hospitality is only exceeded by your beauty, your majesty.
You have a charming manner, Ulysses. And yet I seem to perceive another meaning in your words. Some slyness I have not observed in other men. Like a fox. Yes, that is what I see. Diane.
Yes, my queen.
Does he not remind you of a fox?
Why, yes, in a way.
You have a keen wit, your majesty. There is something of an animal in all of us. For example, when I look at you, I seem to be reminded of a snake.
What?
Your pardon, majesty. I meant that only as a jest.
I'm not interested in your jests. Come, eat and drink. Diane. Give the warrior the nectar.
A delicious recipe. I will have more.
Oh, by all means. More nectar for Ulysses.
The second draught is better than the first.
And the third is better still. Diane.
Truly a drink suited to man.
Not so, Ulysses. A drink suited only to animals. Rise, Ulysses. Stand, for it is the last time you will stand uprightly on 2 feet. Henceforth you will go about on all four and use your slyness and your cunning as a fox.
Really, your majesty, your jesting is equally as boring to me as mine was to you.
I have so ordered it. Change into a fox.
Diane, is your mistress quite mad? Does she not know that I, too, have gifts from the gods? Your days of enchanting are over, Circe. For now, I, Ulysses, will kill you.
No, you must change. I order you to change.
How would you prefer to die? By sword? Or shall I accomplish the task with my own hands?
No! Spare me! No!
On one condition and one condition only. Change my warriors from the beasts you made them back into the men they were.
Yes! Yes! Only spare me! Spare me!
Very well. Let us go to them. What is that sound I hear?
The Cyclops.
Cyclops?
Yes, Ulysses. The Cyclops. The curse of my island. My life. A one-eyed giant, taller than the rocky peaks that surround us, wider than the sea that spreads itself before us. The Cyclops. And your men are forever lost.
Diane, what does this mean?
She speaks the truth, Ulysses. The Cyclops has come again to take the animals. He requires great amounts of food. Your men are truly lost.
Where will he take them?
To his cave, which is the entire side of the western rocks. But wait, what will you do?
I will pursue this Cyclops to his cave and kill him.
Oh, you can do that. I, Circe, promise you that I will release your spell and never again cast it, for it will be unnecessary.
Come then. Lead me to the rocks. Listen. It is Euryanthe. I believe he would accompany me. Very well, give me the cat, Diane.
No, the Cyclops would crush him with his fingers.
I will protect him.
You speak brave words, Ulysses, but it is only fair to warn you. Many men have lost their lives pursuing the Cyclops.
And so perhaps shall I. But I think this giant can be outwitted. The gods have said that too much bulk in the body
allows no room for wisdom in the head. Come, Euryanthe. Perhaps the gods will give us another inspiration. Another Trojan horse.
Ulysses was reckless and sometimes rash, but his bravery could not be questioned. Unhesitatingly and without fear, he climbed the perilous rocks to the Cyclops' cave, taking with him his friend and officer, Euryanthe, who had been changed into a cat. The cat clung tenaciously to Ulysses' back, and even when Ulysses slipped, stumbled, and almost fell over the cliff, the cat did not release his hold. Finally, they reached the top of a pointed crag and looked into the cave. There they observed the one-eyed monster, the terror of the island of Circe, the Cyclops. Yes, the giant Cyclops was sleeping, like one of the little lambs he had stolen from Circe.
The gods are with us, Euryanthe. The Cyclops is asleep. I will creep up near his face and put out his eye. He will be blinded and completely at our mercy. Quiet. Quiet, your mewing might waken him. Euryanthe, where are you going? Come back here. If you waken the giant, he will...
Euryanthe did not wait for his king to reach the giant. The cat leaped from Ulysses' back and ran into the cave. Then he jumped to the Cyclops' face and began clawing at his eye. The giant awoke with a scream of pain. He tried to tear the cat from his eye, but the animal only clung harder. Then, as Ulysses watched, the Cyclops stumbled from the cave, crashed into a tree, lost his footing, and fell over the cliff. Euryanthe, having been changed into a cat by Circe, accomplished what men had tried to do for years, and the island of Circe was rid at last of the dreadful Cyclops.
Circe, the Cyclops has been destroyed. Now we are ready for you to release your spell over my men.
Gladly will I do so. The pig becomes his fat, mannish self again.
Oh, what an experience! It is good to see you, Ulysses.
The horse into a lean young man with strong legs.
Thank the gods you are safe.
The rooster.
Praise the gods, all hail, Ulysses.
Cows, sheep, dogs, all men once again.
And now, Euryanthe.
Yes, Circe. Transform Euryanthe.
Very well. From cat to man.
Diane.
Oh, my brave, brave warrior.
My grateful thanks to you, Euryanthe.
Oh, the gods are kind. We're safe.
Yes, safe and ready to continue our homeward journey.
Oh, Ulysses, I beg you to reconsider. So many years have passed. How do you know you will be happy in the place you call home?
I know it, as only men can know who have been away from home these many years. I long for the sight of my wife's face. I long to see my son again.
So be it. But you will need our help before your journey can be made in safety.
Never fear, Circe. I've learned my lesson. I will not anger the god of winds a second time.
Oh, I did not mean the god of winds. Have you given no thought to the sirens?
The sirens?
They are more jealous than Diane and I. They will not let you pass. Their music will call to you, and you will turn your ship from its course. They have never permitted a wanderer to return to his home.
We have braved the men of Troy and defeated them. We have suffered the wrath of Aeolus and your own witchery. Yea, we have vanquished the Cyclops. And we will find a way to gain victory over the Sirens.
Ulysses and his men constructed a vessel, outfitted it, and after saying their farewells to Circe and Diane, set sail for Ithaca. Once again they passed the wandering rocks. But Ulysses had not boasted idly. He prepared a mold of melted wax and supplied each of his men with it. They put the wax in their ears and were deaf to the sound of the sirens' insidious voices. Except Ulysses, who, having left himself for the last, discovered to his horror that all the wax had been used. He had none for his own ears.
Euryanthe, strap me to the deck.
What?
Tie my hands and feet and legs. Bind me securely. Make haste. In another moment I shall...
Bind him, men. Do as he orders.
And as we draw nearer the rocks, do nothing that I ask of you. Promise me, Euryanthe. Promise me.
I have promised.
Then the music of the sirens beat on Ulysses' ears and called to him. All thoughts of home were forgotten, of wife and child. Only the magnetism of the sirens' voices calling to him. Calling. Calling.
Euryanthe! Euryanthe!
Yes, sire? You called? It is difficult to hear with this wax in my ears.
Unbind me! Unbind me this instant!
What?
Unstrap these fetters and change the course! Unbind me, do you hear? I will steer the course!
I can barely hear you, but I cannot obey. You yourself ordered me to keep you bound until we pass the rock.
Then I rescind the order. Do as I tell you! Unbind me! Listen. Listen. We must go to them. We must go to the rocks. Change the course, Euryanthe. The rocks. Change the course. Change, I say. Change the course!
Bound to the deck, Ulysses screamed and hurled curses upon his officer and his men. But it did no good. They could not hear him. Thus they safely passed the wandering rocks and the insidious music of the sirens. Then fair winds abounded and the ship made good speed. Homeward they sailed, homeward to Ithaca, to their wives and children, to the ties of home for which they now longed. Having wandered through many lands and experienced many adventures, their Odyssey had taught them the meaning of home.
You have been listening to The Adventures of Ulysses from Homer's epic poem, The Odyssey, brought to you by the Armed Forces Radio Service from the bookshelf of the world. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.